This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
From 64 to 32 over the last 2 days, and it feels so real this time around. We'll get down to the Sweet 16 in less than two sleeps. Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Early odds with you earlier than the usual 8 to 9 a.m. hour here on the Score, and for good reason. BetQL's countdown to tip-off is 7 to 9, so in a nutshell, we'll be here to help for 3 hours over the next few Saturdays. No time to waste. Professional bettor Bill Krakenberger with his favorite play of the day in 25 minutes. And the Cubs and Sox win totals posted and taking action. We'll get to that. We're always looking ahead in sports betting, so let's do just that with today's 8 NCAA tournament games. Joining me bright and early on this a glorious Saturday, and it is glorious because it's day 3 of the NCAA tournament. We've got Michael Beller on the line. He's a podcast host and producer over at The Athletic, at M. Beller. You'll probably hear him if he's kind enough to share more of his time very soon because opening day is right around the corner. We usually have a full breakdown on the baseball season, but this morning, Michael, with 8 games on the docket today and tomorrow, we're almost there at the Sweet 16 already. You know, we've got to break down all the 8 of these matchups.
Plenty of time for us to find our NL East team to bet to win the World Series this year, Joe. We got to get these NCAA tournament games in for sure.
Yeah, those MLB lines are moving. There's so much going on between college basketball and the NFL that you see little nuggets, in air quotes, little nuggets. Oh, Freddie Freeman, he's going to the Dodgers, by the way. And nobody's even paying any attention because of everything else that's going on in the sports world. Let's start with the first game of the day, just after 11 o'clock here. We've got a 1-8 matchup. It's Baylor, a team that most people have losing. They're just trying to figure out, okay, where are they going to be going home early? Is it going to be before we even get to the Sweet 16? The Bears are favored by 5.5. We know they're not going to have their stud Crier. They're taking on a red-hot North Carolina team. What do you think?
I think this is maybe the biggest trouble spot for Baylor the rest of the way in their region because they don't have LJ Crier. If they win this game and get him back in the second weekend, I think that they could be feeling better about themselves regardless of their Sweet 16 matchup. If they win that game, regardless of their Elite Eight matchup, than they do without him against this UNC team that has looked awfully good, Joe, for the last month or so, with their only loss in that time coming against Virginia Tech in the ACC tournament. And we know what sort of a buzzsaw Virginia Tech was in the ACC tournament. And we've just really seen the beau ideal of what North Carolina can be over this time with Armando Bacot playing his best basketball and Caleb Love probably playing his best basketball. We saw that on display against Marquette in the first round. We know that they can play fast and make teams uncomfortable with that pace. And having said all that, I still lean toward Baylor. I think Baylor's getting not enough love for just how good they were. Everyone, like you said, everyone, no one wants this team, this one seed, this defending champion, to go to the Final Four. And this was an awesome team all season long. This was a really, really good team. They beat Kansas. They beat Villanova in the non-conference. This was a great team all season that admittedly has stumbled in Big 12 play. I still like them, though. I think that even without Cryer, what they can do on the perimeter with Adam Flagler and Matthew Mayer being that inside-outside threat for them is going to be enough to counteract a North Carolina team that, while playing great, is still one that we can't quite fully trust with how inconsistent that they've been this season. I will say it's not a bet for me. I don't feel good enough about it, but I would lean toward Baylor and lay in the 5.5.
Injuries, the story in the second game of the day as well. Creighton with a flurry of points at the very end. They force overtime and they win. What do you know? Mountain West goes out early. We've seen this story before with San Diego State in that one. But Creighton advances, and now they're beat up, and they are 11.5 point dogs. It's opened at 10, but it keeps on climbing. We understand why. Speaking of ones, here's another one in Kansas.
San Diego State meltdown was such a letdown for me. I was so long on San Diego State back on Thursday and just like kicking my feet. Like, what a genius I am. And then just giving it away at the end of regulation. 11.5 is a big, big number, but you know, no Ryan Kalkbrenner, no Ryan Nembhard. This is already a team that can really struggle offensively. And now you're talking about both of those guys being out. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble against Kansas, a team that really is playing, you know, maybe its best basketball of the season right now. They looked awesome in the Big 12 tournament, Joe. And you know, we're not going to obviously draw too much from the Texas Southern game, but this is a team that, you know, we saw it in the Big 12 tournament, just how much of a difference Remy Martin makes for them when he's out there. And just, I think that this is a game that they can really run away and hide. It just, I mean, Creighton's offense is just, it's been so slow and so hit or miss all season. And now you're talking about their two best offensive players not even being out there. They don't shoot the three. They turn it over a ton. They don't really hit the glass on either side of the floor. Hell of a run for Greg McDermott and his team to get to this point of the season. Great comeback against San Diego State. Plenty of us thought they wouldn't even be a tournament team with all the turnover and all the transfers and everything and all the freshmen that they have on that team. It ends here. I do like Kansas laying that big number.
Nice comeback for Michigan in their first game against Colorado State. Much tougher opponent this time around. Not many teams playing better than Tennessee right now. They're favored by 6 as the 3 seed. I'm in on the Vols. I hope Rick Barnes doesn't get me in the end. I got them at 50-1, Final Four play as well. What do we think about the Vols laying 6 against the Wolverines?
Yeah, 6 is a little bit, it's a little rich of a number for me. I'm probably staying away from it. It is the direction that I would lean. I hate to be so favorite heavy so far as we're talking here, but you know, Michigan, as talented as they are, they were 17-14 in the regular season for a reason. 11-9 in the Big Ten, 11-10 if you include the Big Ten tourney loss to Indiana, for a reason. And we've seen it. We saw it in the Indiana game in the Big Ten tournament. They go way up, and then they just have one horrible stretch. They had a horrible stretch against Colorado State in the first half, and they were able to overcome it, and they deserve credit for overcoming that 15-point hole they dug themselves into in the first half against Colorado State. But Tennessee, Joe, is not Colorado State. Tennessee is not Indiana, and Michigan seems to have had one stretch like that in almost every game they've played, and that's why you see them lose the games they lose to good teams, and they're able to crawl their way back against a Colorado State, a decent team, but not a great team. Mm-hmm. Assuming they have that stretch, I think it's going to be very hard for them to stick with a Tennessee team that really is doing everything you want to see from them, shooting the three well, rebounding the ball very well, playing incredibly strong defense, taking their chances when they are able to get out and run. Tennessee has the look of a Final Four team right now. And similar to what I just talked about with Creighton against Kansas, this feels like Michigan getting above its weight class here. So an impressive showing from them in the first round to get to this point. But I think Tennessee takes care of business in this game.
All right. I like to hear it. Well, let's move on to the fourth game of the day. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score, my terrific guest, Michael Beller from The Athletic. We've seen this before. Richmond as a 12 or even a lower seed, they advance. And then on the opposite side, the entire betting world just keeps on fading Providence. They're not concerned about how much money they keep losing because of the luck factor. People are sick of all these close games Providence wins. The world on South Dakota State in round number one, and Providence just takes care of business, covering the short spread. We've got a short spread once again in this matchup. Providence favored by 3 against the Spiders.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one for sure, and one where I once again find myself on the favorite. If Richmond's going to give Providence trouble in this game, I think they're going to have to shoot the three really well, because they're not going to be able to rebound against this Providence team. They just aren't. I mean, they don't do it really against anyone. They didn't really do it at all in the A-10. It would be silly to expect them to create extra possessions for themselves via the offensive rebound against one of the bigger, better, stronger teams that they've seen this season. So I don't think you can really expect that. Providence doesn't turn you over, so Richmond should feel good about that. Richmond doesn't turn the ball over. Providence doesn't turn you over, so they're not going to give away too many possessions. It would be unlikely for them to give away the possessions. They shoot a lot of threes. That's just the truth with Richmond. That's how they're going to have to score, I think, against Providence, and I think that's where they win this. If they are able to pull off what would be a mini upset here, I think they need to make something like 12 or 13 threes, and so that's certainly possible. But like you said, I mean, Providence, like, sure, there's a luck factor with this team, certainly. But at some point, like, you got to give them credit for winning all these games against quality teams and winning all these close games. This is a team that beat Wisconsin. This is a team that beat Texas Tech. They beat UConn. They were able to knock off a lot of quality teams, really Villanova, the only quality team they played that they didn't beat this season. And at some point, whether you're winning those games by 1 or you're winning those games by 15, it has to be worth something. So Providence's nature makes me a little bit afraid of betting this game. But ultimately, I do think I come down on their side and one that I'm comfortable betting, because I think that they can do enough to run Richmond off the three-point line. And if they do that, I think Richmond's going to have trouble putting the ball in the basket in this game.
And a lot of times, once you get the larger sample size, things do balance out. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen this year. You know, I see a lot of that. People betting against all those teams with good records, games decided by 6 points or fewer. Well, they're a pretty good team, so that's why they have the slight advantage. Is it a skill? Playing close games and closing teams out. If you have good coaching, many times you can make the argument that it is. Well, UCLA had a close game. They had to survive Akron, and they were the story last March. I mean, we've had high expectations all season, just barely skating by all season long. Going against St. Mary's, just pummeled the Indiana Hoosiers. Now, this line is only 2.5 in favor of UCLA, the 4-5 matchup.
Awesome game. This is going to be such a fun game. Mm-hmm. You love the offensive talent that UCLA has. You love the way St. Mary's plays defense. We're talking about a top 10 defense in the country by adjusted efficiency, according to KenPom. Two slow-paced teams, so I think they're going to both feel comfortable with the pace that this game is played at. This is going to be just an absolutely great matchup. And I think really, I mean, it seems simple to say that it's going to swing on, St. Mary's defense against UCLA's offense, but I think it's simple because it's true. This is going to have to be about really the way that St. Mary's makes UCLA work and how hard they're able to make them work for their buckets, because this is a team that doesn't give up offensive rebounds, St. Mary's. So, UCLA is going to have to be very efficient on first shots, most likely, or they're just going to have to beat St. Mary's at their own game. But I think more likely than not, you're going to be looking for really big efficiency out of Jaime Jaquez, out of Johnny Juzang, out of Tiger Campbell. They're going to have to get good shots. They're going to have to get good first shots, because St. Mary's just doesn't make it easy on you. They don't give up a ton of rebounds. They can force turnovers, not great, but pretty well. And they're going to make it very, very challenging for this super talented UCLA team. I still come down on UCLA's side on this, Joe. I mean, they're one of four teams in the country in the top 15 in adjusted offensive and defensive efficiency. And we didn't necessarily see that against Akron, but I still think that that's something that they can bring to bear against most opponents that they play. And so I think that they got their scare against Akron. Hell of a way to close that game, hell of a way to finish that game out of this team. And I think that this is ultimately going to be a story of UCLA's offensive talent just being a little bit too much for St. Mary's to handle. But this is going to be probably the game of the day later today.
I like you even more than I usually do, because you're advancing all these futures tickets that I'm holding. I usually don't add any late because the value is completely sucked out. But as I was price shopping right before the tournament started, you would see UCLA 18, 20 to 1. That made sense. And I found a 35 to 1. I just had to take a piece of that with UCLA. Yeah. They have a tough path. They could face a lot of the teams that are in that range of top five, top 10 teams in the country, but I had to grab a little bit of that with their experience. So we'll see. We'll see if they can make it to week number two in the NCAA tournament. These 15-2 upsets are now boring, right? We've seen it six times in the last 10 tournaments.
Been done.
Yeah, that's old news. St. Peter's the story this year. They're a big dog. They've got Murray State in the 7-15 matchup. That's not the time. That is the seedings here. Murray State 7. Well, oh, wait. I have a Murray State future. Let's see what you think here.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, got to hats off to St. Peter's, right? I mean, they really confused Kentucky. I mean, that the switch to the zone really crowded things up, and Sevier Wheeler suddenly didn't know how to deal with, and he wasn't able to get to his left hand. He wasn't able to get into the paint the way that he was when it seemed like Kentucky was pulling away in the second half of that game. But let's be honest, this was a game that Kentucky lost to the free throw line. I mean, even as poorly as Kentucky played, as, you know, frankly scared as they played that game in the second half, that's still a game they win if they just shoot free throws the way that they typically do. And if their perimeter players score a little bit better, we're not even asking them to score up to their, you know, season averages, score a little bit better, and they win that game. So St. Peter's has something to do with that. That was just as much a game that Kentucky lost as it was that St. Peter's won. And Murray State, you know, Murray State was going to be a handful for Kentucky, let alone St. Peter's. Murray State, a really dangerous team, another team that for a lower seed and for a smaller team does the things you want to do. They rebound the ball well. They force turnovers. They don't shoot it as extremely well as some of these mid-majors do, but still a team that shoots the three better than 33%. So you can expect them to knock down some threes in this game, especially with St. Peter's being a team that you know, maybe is going to be able to give those up. The offense for St. Peter's, not quite up to snuff in this game. The number's a little big. It's probably a stay away for me, but I do like Murray State to win this one, and that would be the lean I would have if I were forced to be betting every game.
Yeah, that number is about 8.5. It wouldn't surprise me as we get closer to the game if it continues to climb. Two more games to go here on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, my guest Michael Beller from The Athletic, and prime time, we've got Arkansas the 4 against a 12. Wait, I thought the 12s weren't going to win this year. That's what I was thinking going in. But New Mexico State, phenomenal performance on Thursday. Arkansas is favored by 6.5.
Love Arkansas in this spot. The number, I wanted it to be a little lower when it opened. But I really like this Arkansas team. This is a team that I have a future to go to the Sweet 16. So, yeah. Hope I'm cashing that ticket a little bit later today. I've got a Final Four future on this team because I think their pace and just how hectic they can make things on defense and then how quickly they can turn that to offense. Like, that could be tough for any team that they ultimately end up running into at any point. And so this is a team that felt like they could, you know, knock off a Gonzaga and get themselves ultimately into the Final Four, knock off a Duke, knock off a Texas Tech. Like, they've got the right formula to do that. You also have a lot of holdovers from the team that went to the Elite Eight and nearly went to the Final Four last year. We also saw in their first round matchup against Vermont some of the things that scare you about them. They don't really shoot the three very well. If JD Notte isn't getting his, the offense can maybe stall a little bit. So it goes back and forth, but ultimately I think that, you know, Arkansas, they're such an active defense and they're such an athletic team and they're such a fast team that when you're a New Mexico State and you're not used to seeing that level of play, it's jarring. And it just truly is. And, you know, one thing New Mexico State is really good at is running teams off the three-point line. Arkansas shoots a lot of threes, but they don't necessarily need those to be dropping for them to get their points because of how well they play defense. No turnovers forced by New Mexico State. And really where this game ultimately, I think, turns is that New Mexico State is an incredibly turnover-prone team. Turn it over on more than 20% of their possessions, 310th in the country. And that is just a horrible trait to have when you are playing against an Arkansas team that is this active defensively and is this adept at turning those live ball turnovers into easy buckets going the other direction. Love Arkansas in this spot. Probably my favorite play of the day.
Teddy Allen, we can still celebrate him though, right? I mean,
that's what March is all about.
What a season that was. He does kind of fit the criteria of maybe a guy that can put his team on his back, but I'm with you here in this specific spot. Backing Arkansas, last game of the night, the Zags. you know, the final score, domination by Gonzaga. They didn't cover the point spread, but domination, taking care of Georgia State. No, not the case early on. Timmy just took over in the end. The Zags are favored by 10.5 over Memphis with a lot of talent, a team that was looking really strong at the end of the season before losing in the conference title game.
Tons of talent and I think sort of the right mix to make things hard on Gonzaga. I really don't have any illusions of Memphis pulling off an upset. I think if we see a big one seed go down in the second round, it's North Carolina over Baylor. I think that one's a little bit more live, which is why I'm staying away from betting Baylor, even though I lean in their direction. But I think Memphis has what it takes to make this a game. I think Memphis getting 10.5 is a pretty comfortable number if you want to get in on Memphis with the size that they're able to bring, right? Because we talk about Gonzaga and how inside outside they can be because of Drew Timmy and Chet Holmgren. You know, Memphis has the size to deal with those guys. Jalen Duran, DeAndre Williams, even Landers Nolly playing at 6'7", like they've got enough size to deal with those sorts of guys. And so I think that they can make things hard enough on Timmy that they're not totally running away with the game. And then we know that Gonzaga wants to play very fast and they can make a lot of teams uncomfortable with that sort of pace. And we saw St. Mary's at the end of the regular season slow Gonzaga down, hold them to 57 points, which is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, give Randy Bennett a medal for that, regardless of what St. Mary's does the rest of the tournament. But most of the teams that have been able to spook Gonzaga a little bit or even beat them have been able to get out and score. They lost a game to Duke where they gave up 84 points. They lost a game to Alabama where they gave up 91 points. Alabama plays a very fast pace offensively. Memphis plays fast. That's what they're going to do. And they're not going to change that just because Gonzaga is frankly better than them and also plays fast. So I think that they're comfortable with the pace. They're comfortable with the size. They can make things uncomfortable, if not necessarily inefficient, for Gonzaga. I like Memphis to stay within the number, but Gonzaga to generally keep them at arm's length, win this game by something like 6-8 rather than 14-18.
It was nice what we had last year, but man, these 4 days, I think the best week in sports. Mm-hmm. I miss this so much, man. It's all these memories over the years of watching the tournament come rushing back this week. And, you know, day one started with a bang. It's just been outstanding.
It really has. And like we've all talked about it, just it feels like the tournament for the first time in 3 years. And so it's just been so much fun already to watch. And we've got 2 more full days ahead of us, Joe. This is going to be great. And then we can start talking about an NL East team. After we hit the Nationals and the Braves, we can get an NL East team to win the World Series this year, maybe.
Free agency has been crazy. It's been nuts. And nobody's going to watch Chris Bryant play a game ever again until he comes back home as a member of the Rockies. Strange. Michael Beller from The Athletic, at M. Beller on Twitter. Michael, let's check in on that baseball preview soon, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Good luck today, Joe.
Appreciate Michael Beller for being an early riser on this Saturday. Pro bettor Bill Krakenberger has a pick, but some betting info to assist for the rest of your betting days. The Crack Man is next. You're listening to Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Saturday mornings, usually 8 to 9, on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. The Score listener line is open 24/7, 365, empowered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, 670 The Score. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Ostrowski. That's at Joe Ostrowski. Bill Krakenberger is a pro bettor who flies from Vegas to Jersey, Jersey to Vegas just to bet. Bill dropped by BetQL Daily yesterday, and we discussed attacking first half college basketball totals, the Tom Brady controversy, and here's his favorite play of the day. Listen up.
Memphis, I really think they're going to hang around with Gonzaga. I like a team like that. To hang around with Gonzaga the first half, plus 6.5. So I'll be betting that. I didn't bet it yet. Even a first half totals market, I don't really like to bet full totals too much. I do, but I like the bet where I don't have to worry about garbage fouls at the end. Do I want to have an under where teams up by 11 decides to slap a guy and with 10 seconds left and make the total go over, or better yet, make my side? If I have a side plus 8, plus 9, plus 10, I don't want to have to lose because of a garbage foul thing. And that's why I like those first half sides probably as much at this time of the year as full games. For everyone out there, listen, take advantage of those boosts. They're giving you free money. But some of them, be careful. Work out the math. It may not be what it looks like. So just work out the math. Go to any parlay calculator. Don't just think they're giving you positive EV, expected value, just because they're, you know, looks like they're hanging it and they're pushing it out. It's low-hanging fruit. It may not be low-hanging. It could be poison fruit. So just make sure you keep your eye on what you should do and shouldn't do and work out the math. I know it's fun for a lot of people. Don't forget, this is new for people. There was a kid next to me yesterday. I just met him for the first time from South Philly. He was new. He's like 22 years old, brand new to sports betting, but he grew up watching NBA. This kid kept going back and forth to the kiosk. And I finally, because he was a friend of a friend of mine, I said, kid, give me your tickets. I didn't even know his name. I still don't know his name. I said, give me your tickets. Let me see this. I said, so why are you, and I can't help myself, why are you betting all the time? You keep going to the kiosk and betting over and over. You got a stack of tickets. You know, they were all 20, 30 bucks, all negative EV, though, just based on watching the games. And I got to have more live action. Literally betting above your means. I could tell the kid, he's a kid, but he said he'd be like, oh, I love this. I grew up on this. I know what happens in these games. I'm listening to him, and he was the perfect example of someone that I would actually take in school and try to turn around, you know, because I know what it's going to lead to for someone like that.
Sure. Crack, on a weekly basis now, sports betting is so big, national stories, usually involving the NFL. A couple weeks back, it was about Calvin Ridley. And then earlier this week, it was, hey, there needs to be some sort of investigation. Sportsbook managers are very upset because of what happened with the Tom Brady news. Bettors using information. They weren't just Bucks fans using actual information. Crack, isn't that what sportsbooks do on a daily basis? In some form or fashion, they're using information to their benefit?
Let me tell you why I got thrown out of the station's casinos. I got thrown out of station. I did a show in New York, WFAN, which is when I growing up, that was like the Bible to me. So I did the fan, and I actually was a girl called in, a lady called in at the fan. She was very nice. And then I go to Vegas, and she finds me on Twitter and tweets to me. And she's like, I'm coming to Vegas, Crack. I'd love to meet you. And she's actually a police officer, a detective, actually. So I don't know that until I meet her. But I said, yeah, sure, I'll meet you, because she was called in. She was nice. She was so friendly. And, of course, my brain, the way it works, I take all my buddies over to the – we usually hang out in another place, and we all go to Palace Station. She meets us there. She was nice as can be. She loves sports betting. She is so cool. Loves sports betting. And the reason why I'm getting to this is my first bet, I go to the counter there, and I bet plus 17 on a game. And it's announced that the quarterback wasn't going to play. It moved to 14.5. Instantly, the sportsbook director comes over to me in front of her and says, I'm sorry, we need that ticket back, or you're not allowed to bet here no more. I was like, what? Yeah, we don't want that type of bet. Well, I said, I bet 5,000 on that bet, but I bet 5,000 here on multiple bets. Look at my bets. It's not like I'm a $100 better and I bet 5,000 on something, because I knew the quarterback wasn't going to play. But by the way, of course I did. I got a message from one of my guys. Quarterback's out. Go take this bet wherever you are, or bet on your apps or whatever it may be. And it's warfare out there. It's us versus them. This is what places like Stations Casinos does. They come after you if you have an edge. But like, if I bet the other side of that game laying to 17, am I allowed to run to the counter and say, hey, guys, let me give you this ticket back. I don't want this no more. The quarterback's out. Of course not. So that's something that I deal with on a daily basis, and that's something that happens with in Las Vegas at some casinos. But going back to your original question, same thing here. You know, if I get information, or if I feel I have information over a sports book, that's the goal. You know, literally, did the books repay the Seattle future bets after they traded away Russell Wilson? Gambling's like it's a dog eat dog world. I mean, I'm sorry. The players are trying to find an edge wherever they are, and the books are trying to beat them to it too. So if books are going to post futures like that before offseason free agency is over, they're accepting the risk of an event like this happening will shift the odds. I'm sorry. And you want to know something else? All the guys that are crying about that, I'll tell you right now, you have months and months to move around your odds. You can make money. Even though you took bets at 50-1, you can make money off those bets by adjusting the Green Bays, the Cincinnati's, the Rams. But you can adjust and get some two-way action, three-way, four-way action, and make some money. Now, going back to what your question is, I'm going to shock you here. I'm going to shock you guys. So the word inside information, the word games are fixed, you hear them all the time in the sports book by everyone. Everyone makes excuses why they lost. It brings them back to the game, actually. But they always think they should have won. So, yeah, okay, there was some terrible refereeing this year in football. But that happens every year. Now, instant replay is supposed to, you know, actually level it off a little bit, but it may not have in some situations. There's no fixes or inside information 99.9% of the time. In this situation, you take someone, and I don't know this for a fact, but this is just a good hypothesis. You take people that are in organizations, they're making $70,000, $80,000, maybe $100,000. Good money, nice job. But they want to make some extra money, and they know about Tom coming back. Yeah, they're probably going to leak it. Someone's probably going to leak it out. It's not going to be from a coach or a player that's making millions of dollars jeopardizing their career. We've just seen that in the NFL. I lost $11 million bucks placing a couple bets. It's not going to be like that, but it could be someone. It could be an assistant trainer or someone. Who knows? That's just part of the business, though. Sportsbooks should get that information also. And if we beat them to it, we're going to shape the line and form the line and show you which way to move your lines. So you should take our bet. You want to lower it down, I understand that. But this situation probably falls outside that 99.9%, maybe something did leak. I don't know that for a fact. But, you know, like I said, you got guys that are making entry-level jobs in the NFL. You can make 50 grand a year, 40 grand a year, just literally. The ball boys make 50 grand a year, 40 grand a year. They do make that much, by the way. You could, find information and something like, listen, it's the same thing as the Gatorade color. And I was watching someone with cases of Gatorade go in the Super Bowl. Am I doing something illegal? No, I'm trying to gain my edge on the sports book. If you guys at the sports book think that you're going to book that, have someone stand out there and wait for the Gatorade truck.
The crack man put it perfectly there. Cry, baby, cry, sports books. Not going to feel sorry for them after never having a losing NFL season, in part because they use information. Subscribe to the BetQL Daily Podcast for more of those sorts of conversations, like that one with Crack. Full things up there. MLB win totals are out. Let's chat Sox and Cubs with our weekly contributor, Jim Miller from PointsBet. You've got early odds with Joe Ostrowski, 6 to 7 a.m. during the tournament, usually here 8 to 9 on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Your home for live in-game betting just got better. Introducing PointsBet's new feature, live college basketball same-game parlays. For the first time ever, build the perfect live same-game parlay only with PointsBet. And now in Illinois, you could sign up from anywhere. Download the PointsBet app today and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone in seconds. New customers use code THESCORE to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Back here on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score, weekly contributor from PointsBet and Hawthorne Racecourse, our friend Jim Miller. And Jim has baseball on the mind, even though we're in the middle of the madness. So much going on. We talk about it every week, Jim.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, the madness is, of course, dominating the news right now. But here's the thing. Baseball is just around the corner. You're starting to see the win totals posted, the end of season awards and that posted and that. But, Joe, before we get into that, I have a question for you. You ready?
Let's go.
Is spring training, was this proven that spring training is a hoax? Because think about it. You had the lockout, collective bargaining. All of a sudden, on a Thursday, they determine that everything's solved. You report on Sunday. The following Thursday, you're playing games. Is this whole pitchers and catchers reporting early thing really overdone and everybody reporting early? All these guys, they're working out in the offseason. They're coming in. They're ready. They're 90, 95% already. Is spring training really a hoax?
I don't know about a hoax. Let's see if we have a number of pitching injuries. However, you are speaking my language. I have said this for years, and you know, Jim, I am a baseball guy. I kind of cringe. Oh, pitchers report. Pitchers and catchers report in X amount of days. All right, the countdown's X amount of days. And then what? Nothing. Okay, you see a couple of video clips of guys doing long toss in the outfield in Arizona. Congratulations, you reached the pinnacle. What? A pitchers and catcher report, and then what? Then we have to sit around and wait a couple more months. No, It's completely overblown. It sounds like we're on the same page. Nothing actually happens. And now that the NFL has decided to take over 12 months a year, every single year, it doesn't really feel like there's much of an off season. There's that little phase we go through, Super Bowl come down, but then now that's extended because the NFL season is longer. Where is the dead time in the middle of summer when we have baseball every day and before teams show up at NFL training camps? It's wild.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's completely wild right now. And I know from experience, I had three spring trainings, and you're right. It's a lot of fielding comebackers and throwing to first, or standing in the outfield, shagging batting practice, that kind of stuff, running. You start working out months before you ever go to spring training, because if you came into spring training, that was the first time you picked up a baseball, you weren't making it out of spring training. So It is. I just think it's a little bit of a hoax. It's a little bit overblown. I think this year completely proved it.
All right, we got some win totals. We can start. We got to start in the south side of town because that's where your heart is. And there's probably more to say about the win total involving your White Sox. 91.5 at PointsBet. So it's in line with the majority of numbers that are out at other books. Jim, I think there were some bookmakers in town that may have been drunk a week ago. There was an opener of 96.5 for your Southsiders. Well, I don't know what they were doing. I really don't know. Maybe they were thinking all the Illinois bettors were going to go over no matter what number was posted. But how do you have a 5-game difference, quite the middle, available out there for Illinois bettors? 91.5 at most places and 96.5 for a short period of time at others.
And think about it. They won 93 last year in a division that I don't think was nearly as good as it is this year. I think even at 91.5, the under is still the play. And I think they're still going to be under, and I think they're still going to win the division. But you look at it, you win 87, 88 games, that's going to be good enough to win the division. But Detroit's better. Minnesota has to be better. The Royals are always there. We'll see what happens with the Indians, but then you always have a tough road schedule. Just 91.5, people don't realize that's a lot of games to win 92 games. Last year, they had to work fairly hard to get to 93, and they won the division by 12 games. I think the under is going to be the play on them this year.
I know people will point to injuries, but I would say with the pitching, almost everything was perfect last year for your Sox. Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
You're two Cy Young candidates the majority of the year.
You have three right now, top 10, top 11 in the odds. Three out of the top 10, top 11 spots. What does that tell you going in? That's not going to be the case at the end of the season. I'd be surprised if that happens in back-to-back seasons. But yes, you can point to the injuries in the field, but look at everything that went perfect as far as the pitching goes. 91.5, if you go under that number. I mean, I think you started off the conversation in the right spot. It's about the division. I don't see a team that can stay within 10 games of them. And just because you're going to start the season with this roster, it appears that that's what they're going to do. It doesn't mean you're going to finish the season with this roster. There are years when everything goes wrong, the injuries pile up, and you shouldn't be spending buku bucks and just add. Let's get to that trade deadline. The White Sox are going to be in the playoffs, especially with the expanded format. So I think people need to calm down. I know there's a jealousy factor. We see what's happening with the Toronto Blue Jays and a couple of other teams in the American League. But there are some appealing ones, are there not? I mean, I talked about Seattle a little bit last week. I was in on Toronto late last year. I was very upset that they didn't make the playoffs because I had a big ticket on them. There's some other good teams. It's not just the big boys that the White Sox need to worry about, but I don't think there's anyone they need to be concerned about this year in this division.
No, and you're right. I mean, think about it. Last year, second place team went 80-82 in the division. That could be exactly what happens again this year. So even if you win 88, you're still winning the division and winning it comfortably. And I think that's probably going to happen. Yes, they may not have the injury problems that they had last year, but you're right. They're not going to have the insane season that they saw out of Rodon last year. He's gone. Chiarito should be better. Yeah. Lance Lynn, he was really good last year. I mean, Dylan C should be good this year. But again, 91.5, 92 wins is a very tough total to get to in Major League Baseball. It means you're playing 22 games over 500. That's not easy to do.
Lance Lynn was top two, top three AL Cy Young odds most of the year. So we have to remember, and he was throwing six innings per start, or even less than that on average. Okay, so we agree, first blush, White Sox under if you're playing that win total. You know, it feels under. The Cubs is set at 73.5, 71 victories a year ago.
I thought 73.5 was actually one of the more ridiculous numbers out there.
Yeah.
Look at that. 71 last year, you had Bryant Rizzo-Baez for a portion of the season. All right. You don't this year. And they're in a division that should beat them up, should knock them around. What are they going to do pitching-wise? Alzolay is already talking about that he's going to be out for a while. You don't know what you're going to get out of Hendricks. He's probably going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be very hard for them to get up to 74 victories this year.
I agree with you. It sounds like we're killing them, but we're not. It's just the reality of the Cubs number from year to year. So if they think the real number is 71.5, why set 71.5?
Right.
They're going to bet over on 73.5, so set it at 73.5. I think that's one way the books are taking a look at it. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Our weekly contributor, Jim Miller from Hawthorne Racecourse and PointsBet Sportsbook. What else with baseball is on the mind, Jim?
All right, Cy Young Award winner. Your guy, Robbie Ray, last I saw, was 8-1. All right, last year he did it with Toronto in a very tough division. This year, he's with Seattle. All right, look at it. You have the A's have completely dismantled their team. You know what the Angels kind of are. So you have the Astros, most likely, minus Correa. And Robbie Ray should be dominant out there. This is a guy that I think at 8-1, I still think that provides a little bit of value. Yes, you're talking about giving it to a guy back-to-back seasons. But couldn't he repeat, don't you think?
Back-to-back, and he got paid. I don't know that he can repeat what he accomplished last year. That's going to be tough. And you know how I feel about Robbie Ray and his squad. I think they're going to accomplish a lot this season. But I can't go preseason 8-1 as the third favorite over on points bet. Robbie Ray sitting behind Gerrit Cole and Shane Bieber at the time. Here's the boring response that I have. Let's keep checking in. Listening to early odds every week, because the best way to bet these awards outside of situations like Shohei Ohtani last year, when one player runs away with it from the start, and what are you going to do? Nothing to bet there. You just watch it, because there are bad months with pitchers. There are going to be early dead arm periods, and that's how you get Robbie Ray 101. I know some people that got Robbie Ray at even a better number than that. Max Scherzer almost took home the NL Cy Young. At the trade deadline, he was 100-1. In the MLB awards market, if you're value hunting, you're going to hit one of these bombs. You just have to keep paying attention. Salvi Perez was almost your home run leader. He was in the mix there, and there were some people that had heavy triple digits on him.
You look through it, and like we mentioned, look at what the team's schedules are. Look at what their division is. That's where you can find the numbers. I mean, it could be a guy that's a top starter or a number two starter on a team that's just going to have a soft schedule. That's where I think you do have to look early in the season. Then, like you said, let's see how it progresses throughout the course of the season. Right now, like you mentioned, there's three Sox pitchers in the top 10. Dylan Cease probably has the best stuff of any of the three. But again, we just don't know exactly what he's going to be. He's 18-1 right now. Wait and see what happens with someone like that. I think a guy like McCullers at 16-1 is intriguing because, again, he's pitching in a division that's not very good. But it is. This is something that you can follow all season long and still have a chance to cash even late in the year.
As we get closer, we will check in on both MVPs, both Cy Youngs, Rookie of the Year, Home Run Leader, Hits Leader, RBI, Runs, Stolen Bases, Strikeouts, Wins, so many different ways to attack Major League Baseball, and it's all a lot of fun. The best part for all of us sports bettors is we can now price shop and find the best numbers that are available as we keep adding sports books to the state of Illinois. Jim, anything else on your mind in baseball related before we get to the horses?
You know what, just real quickly, watch the vaccine status of players. You're going to find it out real early in the season because those that are not vaccinated can't go play in Toronto. And right now, they can't play in New York. So you're going to have to wait and see kind of how things change throughout the course of the year. But hey, if you're looking to play for MVP, home run leader, hits leaders, and that, if you're starting to take games off the schedule that these guys were eligible for, that can make a major impact in those wagers.
fascinated to see what happens in New York. So the Brooklyn Nets have a ton of superstar power. We know that. Now pressure is being applied to the mayor. But in New York, the Nets are the second team. They have the superstars, but they're the second team. The residents care about the Knicks a whole lot more. Well, here come the Yankees. What sort of pressure is going to be applied when we're talking about Yankee superstars earning a lot of money that still refuse to get the vaccine, and now they're not going to be able to play in Toronto, and they're not going to be able to play their home games? Is there going to be some sort of a change then?
That's the question. Right now, there isn't. They've said, even if you're outdoors, but you're right. Okay, think about this. I do agree, Joe. There's going to be a change at some point.
Yeah.
If it were how it is right now, they're missing 90 games out of the season. 90. So something's got to change, but it may not be for the start of the year. So we'll have to wait and see.
Blue Jays and White Sox win total the same at 91.5. Astros, Yankees, 92.5 in the American League. Those are your big numbers. All right. What about the horses today, Jim?
All right, so we're going away from the home track for three races this weekend. We're going to start at Oaklawn Park, race 7, bet the 9, Hollis across the board. Then in race 9, bet the 3, Warriors Charge across the board. Then go to Sunland Park, race 9 on Saturday, bet the 7, Hollywood Henry across the board. And we'll see if we can make some money for an NCAA Sunday.
You're the man, Jim. Hope you can make it to Monday to the Sweet 16 in the Survivor Pool.
I'm ready. I'm there. We'll be talking about it next week.
Awesome. That's Jim Miller, Hawthorne Racecourse and PointsBet Sportsbook right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Well, I didn't make it. I'm thinking Duke yesterday and went with USC chasing the points. Last I checked, it was an 18-2 turnover ratio. Just gross. They almost pulled off that comeback at the very end, though. Next time I hit the air, the Sweet 16 will be set. Join me on BetQL Daily. Weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on 105.9 FM HD2 or the Odyssey app under BetQL Network or on the BetQL Twitch stream. And there's my four hits throughout the week right here on 670 The Score. Subscribe to the BetQL Daily Podcast so you don't miss any of that heat. BetQL countdown to tip off with my guy Nick Costos is next inside the clubhouse at 9 per usual. But a reminder, I'm here with early odds, 6 to 7 a.m. throughout the tournament. Then we're back to our usual slot. Cash some tickets and keep it locked here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.